Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 25th chapter, verses 1 to 15. Verse 1. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamogun or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, 'I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me,' this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord." So what did you remember from Bhurijan Prabhu's class yesterday? I heard you had a good time. Yes, Adipurush? Bali Maharaj has surrendered everything without any resentment. Avadhut, did you have your hand up? Or that was Saranya. The Lord sells himself to one with pure devotion. Sankirtan? Glorify what? Oh. Glorifies the devotee Bali Maharaj. Yeah, so some, even in the lower planets, there is a pure devotee, Bali Maharaj. And so he draws his attention to this pure devotee. Yes, Lila Shuka. Yes. Yes. So Bali Maharaj glorifies Prahlad Maharaj as someone who really knows his self-interest, that he's interested in self-realization. Madhavendra Puri. Yes, so he's feeling sorry for Indra and Brihaspati because the Lord came right in front of them, and instead of asking for pure devotion, they asked for the kingdom. And we will see that also the same thing will happen with Vritashura and Indra in the sixth canto. Indra will get the temporary kingdom and Vritashura will go back to Godhead. So this is there's a kind of a rivalry between Bali Maharaj and Indra if you read Mahabharata. And they're always chastising each other, and so he's kind of, Bali Maharaj is getting something here against Indra. He said, you think you're so great, but actually look what you're after. You're after the material kingdom. And Bali and Indra. Yes. Sometimes Bali gets control and sometimes Indra gets it back. Yes, Vanamali? Right, Bali got... Mm-hmm. So Bali Maharaj got Vamanadev as his doorkeeper, and Vamanadev kicked Ravana far, far away from his door. He was a very good doorkeeper. When the Lord is acting as in a certain position, he's the best of all. We have our chokidars, but they cannot do such a thing. Yes, Karam Karna. Just 3 steps of land. That's all I want. He was very tricky. Nobody can be more tricky than the Lord. You try to. If the Lord is going to trick you, then you cannot succeed. Or if the Lord is trying to take something away from you with his 10 hands, you cannot hold it with your 2 hands. So this was the case with Bali Maharaj. Sankirtan.
And also about the
planets below. Talatala. They get more and more angry and demoniac. Yes, and we'll see that the angriest of all is Sankarshan, because he's even lower. We're going to go even below the lower planets, and we're going to hear about Sankarshan, and he's the angriest of all. They live in holes. Yes, they live in holes. More than the other ones, right. They're more in the hole. Yes. They're afraid of Garuda and Sudarshan Chakra. No, his stepmother. Same father. Same Garuda and the Nagas, they have the same father but different mother. Vinata and Kadru. Yes. Were you raising your hand? Yes, the snakes live in the place where there is no sun. And the sun is drawn by Garuda's brother. So they don't like, maybe they don't like the sun. Yeah, it's a fact. In the mode of ignorance, people don't like the sun. They turn the lights, they close the curtains, turn off the lights, so they can watch their movies or whatever they want to do. So this is the mode of ignorance. You don't like, you go to these, all these bars and things, very dim light or whatever it seems like. They're in the mode of ignorance. Very much darkness. And the word, what is the word for darkness? Tamasa. And here we see that Sankarshan is also called Tamasi. So you can flip these flip charts since you're there, in the right place at the right time. Okay, you can just leave it there. You can leave it right there. Yeah, so, no, it's okay. So Talatala, we have Mayadhanava, Mahatala, the snakes, Rasatala, sons of Diti and Danu. So snake-like people, and then Patala, even more snakes. So it is described here in this verse that why is Lord Sankarshan called Tamasi? He's also called Tamasi. Sharanya? Right. Okay, he's worshipped by Lord Shiva, who's in charge of ignorance, Mahavindapuri.
We can in the same point, 5:17:16.
Yes, 5:17, what? 16. At the same point as there. Right, Lord Shiva is in Ilavritavarsh. He's called Tamasi because why? Because he meditates. Lord Shiva is meditating on him. Okay, so that's why Sankarshan is Tamasi. That's two reasons. Any more reasons? Why he's called Tamasi? His relationship with Lord Shiva that we got. And Lord Shiva is meditating on him. And he's a super soul of Lord Shiva, good, who must perform tamasic activities. And there's four more reasons. Yes. That's right. He dictates the conception of false ego, ahankara. That is Sankarshan who's doing that. He's dictating the concept of false ego. And he gives and once he dictates it, then he keeps you there. He gives you forgetfulness, life after life. You forget Krishna. You forget your real self. So these are four reasons. And then I have another one, because he's a predominating deity of ignorance. These are all from the verses and purports. And the sixth one is because his activities of destruction are in ignorance. His activities, Sankarshan actually helps in destruction of the material worlds. So you can just flip this again and we'll see all the six reasons all at once. Why is Lord Sankarshan called Tamasi? So the next question is, let's see who read the purport. What is the relationship of Sankarshan with the Mayavadis, Mayavadi philosophers? That's in the purport. Yes. Yes, he gives them the conception that I am God. I am the enjoyer. I am identical with the Lord. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarshan. And when the demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demoniac living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because his forgetfulness is created by Sankarshan, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate he has a material body. He's always transcendental. But because he's super soul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarshan is sometimes called Tamasi. So just imagine, on the one hand, we're insignificant. And on the other hand, we think we're something really special. So why we think that way is because of Lord Sankarshan. So let us hear, what is our actual position? Why are we actually insignificant? Why are we not who we think we are? Oh, did you want to say something? Question. Whose question should come first? okay. Let me just ask mine and then you can ask yours. about insignificance. How do we know we're insignificant? We think, you know, I'm this size, I'm like the size of this body at least, and then my possessions are even bigger in my house, and we have a very expansive idea. Yes.
We are Anu?
Atma. Anu what? Atma. Anu Atma. And we are Kshara. Fallible. So tiny. Okay? Yes, Sankirtan? We come with nothing and we leave with nothing. We leave everything behind if Krishna doesn't take it before. Yes, Ahipurush. We're completely dependent and?
On the Lord and the modes.
What?
On the
Lord.
Oh, on the Lord and the modes. Okay. We're completely dependent. One way or the other. Whichever way we want to go. Bhagavat?
Infinitesimal size.
Infinitesimal size, yes. 1/10,000 balasya shatabhagasya, something like that. From the Puranas. Ariprush.
And then.
Oh, yeah. Just think, we're one of unlimited quantity of jivas. We can't be a Saki. We can't be a, you know, one of those big people. We're just a servant of the servant of the servant. Yes, Lila Shuka?
Yeah, prone to fall into illusion.
We what?
We are prone
to fall into illusion. Shara. Yes, Vanamali.
Because we are Amsha.
We are Amsha. Vibinamsha. We are Vibinamsha. Okay? Yeah, because we're part of the Lord, we also think that we are big. Of course, Krishna has, even though he's so big, he doesn't think he's big. He's the opposite of us. He's huge and he's doing everything, but he's very humble. He has this quality of humility.
Who's this from?
Radhishyamsundar. Okay. So he has. We are small and we think we're big, and he's big and he thinks he's small. These are the qualities of the Mahatma and of Krishna, that even though they are Maha-Atma, they are thinking, no, I'm very insignificant. So there's a verse in the fourth canto, which we read last year, about insignificance. As when the wind blows, small particles of dust fly in the air, so according to one's particular karma, one suffers or enjoys material life. 4:11:20. So Sankirtan, you had a question? Right. Yes. It's Sankirtan also. There's different categories of there's mind intelligence, false ego, and consciousness. So false ego, the false ego part of us, that's Sankirtan is in charge of that. That part of us, that part of our nature. Yes. Yeah, so that's Aniruddha. Kshirdakshaya Vishnu is Aniruddha. Well, they're all the same, actually. Yeah, if you want to analyze very scrutinizingly, then you can see, okay, Aniruddha is the mind, Pradyumna is the intelligence, Sankrishan's false ego, like that. So they're all there, but for us it's Krishna Balaram. Yes? Mayavadis. Oh, that's interesting. I don't remember that at all. Wait, say it slowly now. Let's see. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita? I don't know. That's quite interesting. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you find the reference, it would help. Then Sankarshan is the super soul in the hearts of dacoits, thieves, who else?
Snakes,
Lord Shiva. Okay, Sankarshan. And what is Pradyumna is the super soul in the heart of kings?
Kings, Brahma, generous workers.
Generous workers, altruists. And Aniruddha and yogis, no?
Virtuous kings.
Brahmanas, yogis for sure. Yogis meditate on Aniruddha. And Vasudeva?
Devotees?
Okay. Yes. Okay, it's good if you can find that reference. That's a really nice idea. Of course, whoever the devotee is attached to, that would be their super soul in the heart. Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram. Stavar Jangam Deke, Nadeke Taramurti. Ishtadeva Swurti. Yeah, the pure devotee, he doesn't see the forms, but he sees his own Ishtadev in his heart.
Yes, that's...
You found it?
95.1.
Okay. Yes, read it. Adi 5, CC Adi 5.41. Wow, that's right. Right in there. 5.41, okay.
Sankarshan.
Irreligion. Okay, wait. For the dissolution of the universe, Sankarshan manifests himself as super soul in Rudra, Adharma, snakes,
and, Yamaraj,
or death.
And demons.
Wow. Learn something new every day in this class. That's why I come every day. Yes? Just look it up. Adi Leela, 5th chapter, verse 41. Adi 5:41. Okay, Aniruddha. That sounds like Pradumna. Pradumna has invested his creative. Okay, so we're destruction, now we're doing creation. And Pradumna has invested his creative principle in Cupid. Okay, so it is by the energy of Pradumna that all living entities function with the energy of regeneration. So creation, basically. So Sankarshan gives dissolution and Pradumna gives creation.
Aniruddha.
Super soul of Dharma,
the Manus,
and the Devatas. Okay, Aniruddha. Vasudeva gives her. He's not super soul, maybe. Okay, anyway, thank you for that. That's a very nice. Yeah, we'll be in the purport. Purport of Adi 5:41. Okay, we'll read verse 2. Shukadev Goswami continued, this great universe, situated in one of Lord Anantadev's thousands of hoods, appears just like a white mustard seed. It is infinitesimal compared to the hood of Lord Ananta. Oh, Vasudev's Lord of the Yogis. Okay. Okay. Vasudev. Yeah, according to third canto, Aniruddha is the one for the Yogis, but you know, it can also be Vasudev. They're the same, actually. They're just expansions. Expansion of Vasudev. Yes. Krishna is Vasudev. Okay. So this whole chapter on Sankarshan is preparing us to hear 10th canto. And how is that? Because here in this verse 2, is described the strength of Ananta. Where do we hear about the strength of Balaram? Because Balaram is the original Ananta. So we'll be hearing about Balaram's strength in the 10th canto. How does Balaram prove himself to be strong? Paramsura and? Oh, yeah, he was dragging Hastinapur into the Jamuna. Sankirtan? Thinking, okay, you can think a while. So anyway, I got a reference from Denukashur. This is 15th chapter of Krishna book. Balaram caught hold of the legs of the ass demon with one hand, wheeling him around, threw him into the treetops. And while he was being reeled around, the demon lost his life. He threw the demon into the biggest palm tree about, and the demon's body was so heavy the palm tree fell upon other trees, and all the trees were falling down one after the other, just like a hurricane. There was just a hurricane in America, I believe, in New Orleans, in America. And they evacuated the whole city, as far as I heard. New Orleans, America, there was just a hurricane hit the city. Yeah, just a few days ago. So it's comparing the strength of Balaram to a hurricane. That just like a hurricane, when a hurricane comes, everything is flattened. So they said most of the city, or half of the city, is flat. So when Balaram did the same thing, when he threw the demons on top of the tree, all the trees, like one after the other, they went down. This exhibition of extraordinary strength is not astonishing because Balaram is a personality of Godhead known as Anantashesha Nag, who is holding all the planets on the hoods of his millions of heads. He maintains the whole cosmic manifestation exactly as horizontal and vertical threads hold the weaving of a cloth. Any other examples of the strength? Yes? Okay, Balaram being Ananta, another example of Balaram being Ananta. Okay, sometimes it is said the poison of one snake is counteracted by the poison of another snake. So after Krishna came out of Kaliya Lake, having defeated Kaliya,
Balaram embraced him.
To cure him from Kaliya. Because first Kaliya was embracing Krishna for quite a long time and trying to bite him. So then Balaram, as Anantashesh, embraced Krishna. And he counteracted the poison of Kaliya. So this is a very wonderful example. I think Burjan was telling something else. I don't know if he told it in your class. I can't remember it exactly. When Kaliya was embracing Krishna, actually he was showing his love for Krishna. He was giving him a hug. Actually, he was enjoying having the association of Krishna. So anyway,
also, when Balaram was leaving this world,
he left as the snake. What happened? He separated. Anantashesh came out from Balaram. Balaram sat on top, and he left the world. I think Lakshman also must have had a similar disappearance. There was some form of Anantashesh that was involved with the disappearance of Lakshman from this world. So, I'll just another thing that Prabhupada says about Anantashesh is that this thing with the mustard seeds on his head, all the universes. This shows one principle that the scientists have explained as a law of nature. Anybody know which law? This principle of Anantashesh holding all the planets. Gravity, yes. This is the law of gravity. And this is Adi Lila 5, verse 119. It says that the huge global spheres are compared to grains of mustard resting on the spiritual hoods of Sheshanag. The scientist's law of gravity is a partial explanation of Lord Sankarshan's energy. And then Prabhupada points out a very interesting thing, that the Sanskrit Sankarshan has a relationship to the idea of gravity. Because gravity means to attract something. It goes down. So he's down. So Shesha, what's down that's attracting everything is Shesha. Everything's being attracted by Sankarshan, or Lord Shesha. That's why the apples fall, like Newton's law or whatever, the apple falls from the tree because it's going to Sankarshan, it's attracted to Sankarshan, or Sheshanag, attracted. So Prabhupada mentions that in this purport of Adi 5, verse 119. Then in I'll just read a few verses from that section of CC. Sheta anantashesh bhaktavata ishara sheva vina nahi janaya. Anantashesh is a devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. So Srila Jiva Goswami, this is the purport Adi 5.120. In Krishna Sandarbha has described Sheshanaga. He has thousands of faces, is fully independent, always ready to serve the Supreme Lord. He waits upon him constantly. The first expansion of Vasudev, and because he appears by his own will, he is called Swarat, fully independent. He is infinite, transcendental to all limits of time and space, and he appears as a thousand-headed Shesh. So then there's a quote from Skanda Purana about Lakshman, and he is requested by Lord Indra, please go back to your place where your expansion Shesha is also present. So then he went down to Patala, below the Patala plains. Lagu Bhagavatamrita gives a description. Sankarshan of the second group of quadruple forms appears as Ram taking with him Shesh. Ram and Shesh. Shesha is Sankarshan, who bears the global spheres. Two features of Shesha. One is bearer of the globes, other is the bedstead. servitor. So the Sesha who bears the globes is an incarnation of Sankarshan. Sometimes he is called Sankarshan. So then the next two verses. Sahasya barane kore Krishna gunagan niravati gunagan antanahipan. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. Shanakari Bhagavat Shunejara Mukhe Bhagavanir Guna Kahe Bhasiprema Sukhe. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. So Lord Ananta Shesha is always speaking Bhagavatam, with one of his heads at least. Yes, so he's always speaking. And not only is he always speaking, it's described that his mouth is the dham, or the place of Bhagavatam. It is the dham of... There's a quote somewhere in Chaitanya Bhagavat. I think we'll get to it in the sixth canto. That he is a dham for Srimad Bhagavatam. The place where Srimad Bhagavatam lives is in the mouth of Lord Shesh. Verse 3. The time of devastation when Lord Anantadev desires to destroy the entire creation, he becomes slightly angry. Then, from between his two eyebrows, appears three-eyed Rudra carrying a trident. This Rudra, who is known as Sankarshan, is the embodiment of the 11 Rudras or incarnations of Lord Shiva. He appears in order to devastate the entire creation. Why is he angry? Sankirtan. Yes, the living entities don't graduate from this universe. They don't go back to Godhead, and he's angry because they got a chance, they got another chance, and they didn't take it, and they didn't go back to Godhead. So he gets angry, and he destroys the universe. And 11th canto is described as cosmic, this is 11:3:9, as cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on Earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases, and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarshan. Its flame shooting upward, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. At the beginning of the devastation, this is now 3rd canto, 11th chapter, verse 31, all the seas overflow, and hurricane winds blow very violently. Thus the waves of the seas become ferocious, and in no time at all the three worlds are full of water. And the purport Prabhupada explains, it is said the blazing fire from the mouth of Sankarshan rages for 100 years of the demigods, or 36,000 human years. Then for another 36,000 years there are torrents of rain, accompanied by violent winds and waves, and the seas and oceans overflow. People forget all these devastations of the worlds and think themselves happy in the material progress of civilization. This is called Maya, or that which is not. The thought came in my mind, it's 36,000 human years, but I mean, you're going to die as soon as it starts. So how are you going to be there for the rest of the 36,000 years? You're not going to really suffer all that time, because you can't be born in the fire to suffer. Anyway, I was just wondering about that. 36,000 years, it rages. So where are we? Where are we at that time? Yes.
We get some kind of body we can live in.
Well, we get some body so we can live and suffer in the devastation.
Which canto?
Which canto? This is what Vanamali thinks. Okay. 13th canto. Hell. It's hell. Okay. It's hell 36,000 years in the fire. Like being in hell. Okay, verse, because it seems to me we suffer since Prabhupada says we forget about it. We don't remember this. Markandeya, he lived through it. That was a benediction, sort of. Wasn't really a benediction, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to see this. So don't desire that. We shouldn't be here. Verse 4, the pink transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. So here we have devotees. There's two groups that are worshipping Sankarshan, the leaders of the snakes, and the devotees. Yesterday we were wondering if there were Vaishnavas or not. The demons and the demigods are worshipping the Lord. Okay? So the unalloyed devotees are there, and the leaders of the snakes are there, offering worship to Sankarshan. Verse 5. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles, and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. And the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkum. The touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. So it's often described, when you hear the descriptions of the Lord, the eyes are red, a little bit reddish. But this time it goes one step further and it says it appears like his eyes are rolling in intoxication. So this is a characteristic of Balaram as well. What is an example of when Lord Balaram got intoxicated? He was drinking Varuni beverage. And then he ordered Jamuna to come in front of him. And she thought, oh, he's just drunk, I'm not going to go. But then he showed her his strength. So there's another verse also that even Krishna has this feature of intoxication. 10th canto, 35th chapter, verses 24 to 25. It says, as Krishna, he's coming home from herding the cows all day. When he comes home in the evening, he respectfully greets his well-wishing friends. His eyes roll slightly as if from intoxication. So Krishna has that feature also when he's meeting his friends in the evening, the ones who didn't go with him, the ones who stayed back at home. He wears a flower garland. The beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a buttera berry. So this is Krishna returning in the evening, delivering the cows of Braja from the heat of the day. He has the same feature of eyes rolling in intoxication. Verse 6, Lord Sankarshan is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Anantadev. He is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. So this purport, Prabhupada explains why he's angry in great detail. Anantadev's main mission is to dissolve the material creation, but he checks his anger and intolerance. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a creation. If he didn't, they created, he immediately dissolved it, what would we do? Material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned souls anger Anantadev, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind toward us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger and destroy material world. So he's there restraining his anger and intolerance. Verse 7. Shukadev, so how long can you restrain your anger? He restrains it for the whole duration of the creation, and then he lets it go. Lets his anger come out. Verse 7. Shukadev Goswami continued, the demigods, demons, Uragas, Sittas, Gandharas, Vidyadharas, many highly elevated sages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. So here's the example, like Madhavendrapuri says, the demons and the demigods, they're both worshipping the Lord Sankarshan. Because he is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes, appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, but a sweet vibration is emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, He holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly King Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist and a Vaijayanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi blossoms around his neck. Bees, intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulsi flowers, hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastimes. Anybody ever see this, like bees on the deity's garlands? When I was puja in Calcutta, we have the deities in Calcutta are there, then there's a back window that's open right in back of the deities. So the bees used to come in, and there's two kinds of bees. There's the small little bees, and they would come and just sit all over the garlands, right on the garlands. We'd have the garlands, and we'd have full of bees, these little tiny bees. And then we get these huge, big, fat bumblebees, and they would come, and they would sit in the lotus. They would go for the lotus. They wouldn't go for the small. So we had these big, huge, like you saw with Radharani's hand today, if somebody went for darshan, there was like a lotus, or not a lily, this big. So we had lotuses big as your head. And I would put it on Krishna's flute sometimes, and we'd have all these vases in the back, and this huge, huge bumblebee would come and sit inside the lotus, or at his feet he would sit inside the lotus, or in the vases. So it really happens, even here, that the bees come and they sit. And then when I would see that, I would remember the descriptions of Bhagavatam. Third canto also describes like that. So I'll just read a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, fifth chapter, verse 7, a few verses up to 11 about Sankarshan. Sankarshana karana toya shayi garbo dishayi chapayab dishayi Sheshastayasyang Sakalasa Nityananda Kyarama Sharanam Namastu. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Karana ocean, Garba ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. So the source of Sankarshan is actually Nityananda. And he also, I think he wears one earring sometimes in his ear, just like Sankarshan. Yes? He gave the other earring for what?
Long story.
Oh, when he shot the Pashupatra. Oh, it's a snake weapon in Mahabharata. So Arjuna shot his snake weapon and he said, don't bite anyone. You stay here, but don't bite. But then he started biting after a few thousand years.
And then Nityananda came.
Nityananda came.
And then people complained.
People were complaining. Where is this? In Kurukshetra?
This is nearby Ekachakra.
Nearby Ekachakra. Oh, he must have come down over there.
Pandavas were staying there.
Who?
Pandavas.
Oh, Pandavas were staying in Ekachakra. Okay.
Grandfather Nityananda.
Okay. Maternal grandfather Nityananda. So they said, don't go there, it's very dangerous. Acha. So Nityananda took off one earring and blocked the snake hole. So the snake couldn't come. You see the earring.
They offer dut through the hole.
They offer what? Milk, dut. To feed the snake. Oh, okay. So if you go to Ekachakra, you can see the place where Nityananda put his one earring down to stop the snake from coming out of his hole.
Because he's
an Anantashesh. Right, he's an Anantashesh. So he's got only one earring as a result. We were just wondering why one earring. So now we know why he has only one earring. So the next verse, fifth chapter, verse 8. Shibalaram Goshai Mula Sankarshan Pancharupa Tori Koren Krishna Shivan. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Apane Koren Krishna Lila Sahai Vishishti Lila Kwarja Kore Dori Charikai. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and does the work of creation in four other forms. Shishadik Sheva Tar Agar Palan Sheshurupa Kore Krishna Vivita Shivan. He executes the order of Lord Krishna in the work of creation and the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. So we have five expansions from the original Sankarshan Balaram. We have Mahasankarshan, Karadakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Kshiradakshai Vishnu, and Shesh. So these are the five expansions. These are listed in Adi Lila, 5th chapter, verse 10, purport. So why is he called Shesha? That's the name. Shesh means what? End of what? End of creation, okay, that's one end. End of creation, yes, Sankirtan? No, you're just, yes.
End of material
existence. Yes, end of material existence. That's one, another name of Shesh, another meaning of, he finishes our material existence because he's the false ego. Shesh, no more. Shesh means finish, means end. Shesh. Also, he's called Ananta, which is the opposite of Shesh. Shesh means limit. Yes? Okay, another meaning of Shesh is that which remains. So after destruction, only Shesh remains. What is Shesh? What is left? That is Shesh. He destroys it and he's still there. Chatushloki? Aham evasa mevagre nanyad yat sarasapuram. Yes, before, middle, and after. During and after. Only the Lord remains. Shesh. So he's called Shesh. For all those reasons. Verse 8. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadev from the mouth of a spiritual master in the chain of succession, and if they always meditate upon Sankarshan, the Lord enters the cores of their hearts, vanquishes all the dirty contamination of material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the hard knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by desire to dominate material nature through fruitive activities. Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Anantadev in his father's assembly. There he sings blissful verses of his own composition, accompanied by his string instrument or celestial singer known as Tumburu. So Prabhupada says in the purport, paragraph 2, Vaishnavas and Gaudiya Sampradaya belong to the Sivak succession stemming from Lord Brahma. Brahma is spiritual master of Narad. Narad is spiritual master of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all devotees in Gaudiya Sampradaya accept the activities of Lord Ananta related in Srimad Bhagavatam as authentic, and they are thus benefited by going back home, back to Godhead. Contamination in the heart of a conditioned soul is like a big accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in the cyclic succession, there is no question of his being purified of this contamination. So we can cut the knot in the heart, is described here one way of cutting the knot in the heart by remembering Lord Ananta. If we forget Krishna, we get false ego. If we remember Krishna, we cut false ego. So what is, when I was reading this purport, I was reminded of some verses. Were you also reminded? Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam nacha tayomito hridaya granti Atogi hasheta sutapta vita janasya moho yamaham ameti. So this is, yes? I didn't get that one.
1, 2, 21.
Yes. Bidyate hridaya grantis. And even before that, tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba. That's in the purport Prabhupada was just saying. There's lusty desires and greediness. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayascheye. So, yes. Anything else? Anyway, this 21st verse I especially liked. Vidyate hridaya grantis. That you cut the knot of the heart when you progress from hearing and chanting, serving Bhagavatam and the devotees, then the mode of passion, ignorance is finished, you become in goodness. And then in that state, you can understand Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga Taha. So how is the knot cut here? And Prabhupada explains in the purport, we have this tight knot. Yes, Sankirtan.
Except
accept the description as it is of Lord Shish. Then your knot in your heart is cut. And what about in the first canto? How is the knot finished in that purport? Hearing and chanting? Punya Shravana Kirtanam. So Prabhupada says that the reason why the knot is cut, it says, there's one sentence, this enlightenment perfectly enables a devotee to distinguish spirit from matter because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. It says the Lord is untying the knot for us. So this is Sankarshan. He's untying our knot. Has been there since time immemorial. And Prabhupada refers to disciplic succession. Accepting through disciplic succession, through parampara, that's how we untie the knot. That same reference was there in 1.2.21. Devotees are submissive, and therefore transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession, and the process is helped by super soul. So out externally, we're hearing the knowledge, and internally, the Lord is untying the knot in our heart. So these two things are going on when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Verse 9. By his glance, Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless, and although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? So Chaitanya Bhagavat in the purport. The third quote, some descriptions of Lord Anant. Adidev Mahayogi Ishwara Vaishnav Mahimaranta Ihana Janayisha. Lord Ananta is the original person, great mystic controller. At the same time, he is servant of God, a Vaishnava. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully. And from the sixth quote, Shisti Siti Pralai Satvadi Jatogun Jaradishti Patehoi Jai Puna Puna. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of nature interact and produce creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again. So we'll go down a few verses. There's so many verses. They're all wonderful. Let's go down a few. Jayananta name shavan sankirtane jete matkene nahi bole jete jane ashesha janme banda chinde shekane ote vaishana chare kavutane. If we simply try to engage in congregational chanting of the glories of Lord Anantadev, the dirty things in our heart accumulated during many births will immediately be washed away. Therefore, Vaishnava never loses an opportunity to glorify Anantadev. Sheshabai Shangsharer Gatinahiya Anantirname Sarajiverutar. Here's another reason why he's known as Shesh, because he ends our passage through this material world. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. So then there's many. Sahasrabhadane Krishna Yashinirantar Gaiti Achanadi Deva Mahitar. While holding the universe on one of his hoods, Anantadev chants the glories of Krishna with each of his thousands of mouths. Gayananta Shi Ashanahianta Jayabanga Nahi Karu Dohe Balavanta. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he has still not come to their end. Adyapiha Sheshade Sahasushi Muke Gayan Chaitanya Yash Antanahi Deke. To this very day, Lord Ananta continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still, he finds no end to them. So these are meanings of Ananta, no end, unlimited. He's unlimitedly chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya, and he's not finding any end, no shesh. So he's not only a shesh, he's also ananta. One opposite meanings, unlimited and then finished. So two, the same person is ananta and shesh. Ananta and shesh. We cannot do that. Only Krishna can be the same opposite things at the same time. Verse 10. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. Supreme Lord is most liberal and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. So this verse is very reminiscent of the one we learned, 3.9.11, that he appears according to the form that the devotee longs to see him in. Now here's another verse. Of course, nothing would be complete without a verse on the holy name. And so here it is. Within every chapter, there seems to be a verse on the holy name of the Lord. Verse 11, even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesh? Of whom else should one take shelter? So now we're preparing for the sixth canto. There is a verse in the sixth canto very similar to this verse, 6:2, 18 and 19. The Vishuddhutas are speaking to the Yamadutas, and they say, as a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanting knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Just like if you're taking a medicine, you don't know the potency. If you're forced to take that medicine, it will act even without your knowledge. So chanting the holy name will act even without our knowledge, because it doesn't depend on the patient's understanding, Srila Prabhupada says. Knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. So then, the Haridas Thakur, we heard yesterday that even a dim light, a faint light, namabas, is enough to drive away all the dacoits and rakshasas and fear and all of our sinful reactions. Verse 12, because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe, filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? Does anybody know any other verses to glorify Shesh besides the ones that I've been citing? Or does anybody know any other glories in Brahma Samhita about Shesh? Which one? Yatkara Narana Vajale Bachatisma Yoga Nijam Ananta Jagaranda Saroma Kupa Adhara Shaktim Avalambya Param Samurtim Govinda Mari Purusham Taham. He's holding the whole universe. Okay? No other verses. Okay. Verse 13. There is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Lord Ananta. So here's another meaning of Shesh for those who are collecting meanings. There's no end to his great and glorious qualities. Therefore, Shesh. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Of course, that could also mean Ananta. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. My dear King, as I heard of it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruit of activities and desires of the conditioned souls. So this is the end of the description of the structure. Of course, there will be more this afternoon. It's not quite the end. You're all going to, as Burijan said, you're going to hear about hell this afternoon. And if you hear about it, then you don't have to go there. So better if you go and hear about it instead of going. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, okay, we're here in this world, what do we do? In this regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karma phale pari pavar navachale taribare nadaki apai. My Lord, I do not know when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience I have fallen in the deep ocean of nations. Now I can also see there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya offers the following prayer. Kainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Pavam Buddha Kripaya Tavaparapam Prajastita Tuli Sadisham Vishuntaya. My dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of nations. Kindly therefore save me from this horrible condition of materialistic life. Verse 15. My dear King, I have thus described how people generally act according to their different desires and as a result get different types of bodies in higher or lower planets. You inquired of these things from me, and I have explained to you whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak of now? So Maharaj Parikshit will ask a question in the beginning of sixth canto about what he should speak of now. Does anybody know what that question is? Sankirtan. Prayaschitta. How can people... Yeah, actually his question was a little different. It was just how people can be saved. And then Sukadeva answers, Prayaschitta. That was his first answer. His first answer is by atoning, by following the path of karma, they can atone for their sins. So his question is, how can they be delivered? So at the end of this 25th chapter, or 5th canto, Prabhupada is speaking on the theme of deliverance, that now we are fallen into this material world. How can we get out? And the 6th canto will be an answer to that question. How to get out. So any questions or comments? Madhavendra Puri.
Is there only one universe, or all the universes?
He's got all the universes. But the Shesha in this universe has one. But the big Shesha has all of them.
So
well, there's a lot of...
The big one, where's the big one?
What's that?
Where's the big one? There's one another Shesha.
Yeah, you see, there's one with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu here. There's one with Garbhadakshaya, and then there's one big one that's holding up all the universes. Yeah, each one has an expansion. So the Maha Shesha is the Ananta Shesha is holding up all the universes. It's a big Shesha. Yes, Mahavishnu. It would be Mahavishnu. Yes. Yeah, Ananta Shesha is always accompanying him. Yes. Yes, they do. I think for the 10th canto, they put him on Ananta Shesha. By the time they got to the end of the 10th canto, then we see Mahavishnu with Ananta Shesha. No, Shesha is holding the universe, and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, it's from his navel that the universe is expanding. Ananta Shesha, right.
So the whole thing is like expanding out from the navel.
Yeah, expanding from the navel.
And at the same time, Ananta Shesha is like the whole thing on this.
Yes.
On this hood, so it's
yes. Amazing. Yes. Just try to figure it out with your mind. Yes, and your mind will be blown if you try. Yes.
Are the deities of Ananta Shesha separate worship without Mahavishnu?
Sometimes, for the house, they put Shesha underneath the house to hold up the house. So in that sense, he's worshipped separately. In South India, do they worship Shesha separately from Mahavishnu, or are they together? Together. South India, that's where all the temples are of Ananta Shesha. So they worship together. But when people build their house, they put the Shesha Nag down, or you make a temple, you put Shesha down to hold it up. Yes. Rama Anuja. He's incarnation of?
Lakshman.
Lakshman. Ananta Dev. So Rama Anuja.
He showed his
Shesh form.
Yeah. Actually, he told,
while discussing.
Asking questions. At the time, thousands of people.
Thousands of questions.
He asked them to cover with the cloth. and
cover what?
Cover himself with cloth.
Cover himself.
And he expands like Aranjita Dev, and he is answering all these things. One person is saw, and he is showing this Ananta form.
Okay, so they're asking thousands of questions at once. So with his thousands of mouths, Ramanuja was expanding his enunciation, answering their thousands of questions. He was one and they were thousands.
So another one is,
stories of Ramanuja as enunciation. In Tirupati, there is the heel is Seshadri.
Seshadri.
So that's why Ramanuja didn't go on Seshadri.
He
didn't step.
Go with his knees.
He went on his knees on Venkata Seshadri at Tirupati. He didn't step on it. He went on his knees. Well, that's what he seems to be saying here. And Adi is also agreeing. And Sri Sampradaya, they say. Sri Sampradaya. And so this is what people say. And okay, Damana Krishna. What? Oh, the body of who? Ramanuja is still there in Sri Rangam. You can still see the body of Ramanuja in Sri Rangam. Judge for yourself. They smear his body with oil.
And his own body is vivid with life.
It's vivid with life. Maybe he never died. Maybe he's still there. Oh, he gave the body to his disciples to worship. Okay, Adi Purush. Because he what?
He creates complete attraction.
He creates complete attraction. Vishnu okay. Sankarshan is called... Oh, sorry. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Sankarshan is called that name because he creates attraction between the seer and the seen.
And the enjoyer and the enjoyed.
So it's him.
So that's what all the universes are based upon.
And this is what all the universes are based upon. This is what holds the universes together. So he's holding everything together. In charge of integration and disintegration. Remember that?
The seer and
the seen. The seer and the seen, the enjoyer and the enjoyed. Right? And? Yes? Okay. They also say Pradyumna is doing that too. Pradyumna is causing something like that. Yes. So we can say that, yes, in some ways, Sankarshan is in charge of Tamagun in this world. Can we see acts? Can we see Sankarshan in external acts of... in manifestations of Tamagun in this world? Okay. So that's the question. Can we see Sankarshan in the manifestation of Tamagun in this world? Actually, behind everything, it's the Lord. Behind. So you can see in different levels. You can see that on one level, there's karma. There's living entities doing out their karma. On another level, there's Lord Shiva. And then another level, it's Sankarshan. So it depends at what depth or what level you see things. Is what I would say. I don't know. What? Yes? Anything else, Adi? Yes, that was the first creation. Lord Brahma. Yes. Okay, so his question is, in this material world, what is the necessity of destruction? Because it's going through cycles. Yeah, but what's the need of all these? What's the need of Vyakta, Avyakta, and all that? Why? To give a chance. Okay, one reason to give a chance, Damana Krishna. Yeah, so at least Brahma doesn't have to stay here forever. You know, it gives Brahma, you know, it gives a break to Brahma. Otherwise, he'd be here forever, you know, ruling the world. He'd never get to go back to Godhead. That's an interesting reason, yes? If there is no destruction, then how can there be creation? It just goes on and on and on and on. And
another one is Krishna is telling this is the temporary world.
Yes, it's a temporary.
If it's not destruction, then it's not.
If there's no destruction, then this world would be eternal. Okay, Jatasya Hitruvo Mritir, Bhagavad Gita. For one who is born, death is sure. That we know, but the question is, why? Yes, so why? I think it's true. If everyone was eternal, there's a story somewhere in some of the Vedas or Mahabharata that at one point there was no death. There was no death. You know that story? And there was a problem with that because there was no death. Yeah, they found a lady who was willing to be death.
She was not willing.
No, she was not willing.
So
and she didn't want to do it. And so she wasn't, there was no death because she didn't want to do it. And I don't remember the story, but somehow they convinced her.
Who had to ask her?
Brahma or somebody, some big person had to ask her, please, you have to kill. Yes. So actually, there's several reasons why there must be destruction, because otherwise all the demoniac peoples will be eternal, demoniac tendency. The forgetfulness will be eternal. All the bad things will be eternal. Everything you find in this world is what isn't allowed in the spiritual world. So why should it be eternal?
Otherwise, no. Eternal.
Yes. What's the link between ignorance and death?
Why are they together in the same mode?
Why is death and ignorance together in the same mode? Oh, that's a nice question. You have an answer, Bhakti.
Prabhupada says that death means ignorance and ignorance means death. As soon as you die, you forget everything, that's ignorance.
Yes, okay. One reason is that death means ignorance, ignorance means death. Once you die, you forget everything. Yes, Sankirtan? Yes, that was how I was thinking more in your lines, that there is, it's an artificial imposition. There is no death, actually. We are eternal. And that's why death is ignorance, because it's not our nature. Our nature is eternity. So therefore...
That's why you're reluctant to actually want to die, because
yeah. That's what I was thinking, the same on your lines, that that it's asat. It's not real. It's not our nature to die. And that's why we don't want to die and get old and all this. So therefore it's ignorance, because it's the opposite of knowledge or light or the soul. Tamasi ma, jyotirma. Tamasi is opposite of jyoti. So tamasi and jyoti, that's the Vedas. Tamasi ma, don't go to darkness. It's darkness. Ignorance means darkness. And jyotirma, jyoti is light. So the soul, the spiritual world, that's light. And the tamasi is darkness, that's ignorance, it's opposite of the spiritual world. Destruction of the soul, death of the soul. Of course, the soul doesn't die, but we think we die. Okay, Madhavan Puri. Mrityu saraharascha aham. Yes. Death is Krishna, so therefore there must be. This is an answer to the question, why must it be? Because it's Krishna. Yes, the atheists, otherwise they don't have a chance to see God. It's their only way, is to see death. It's their only chance. Okay, I'll just go to Govinda, and then I'll go to you, and then I'll go to you, and then I'll go to that side. What's that? Lord Vishnu has to breathe. Okay, that's a good answer. So if he's just going to just breathe out all the time, it wouldn't work. He has to breathe in sometimes as well. So therefore, that's a good one. Must be destruction. Try holding your breath, or just try breathing out forever. Thank you. Now, next. In the case of non-devotees, death is ignorance. Because all their plans and attachments are destroyed. So there is death for the demons.
Yes,
Narada Muni explained his death to Vyasadeva.
He said that it came suddenly as a lightning.
Just like lightning.
Which is followed by light.
Suddenly lightning followed by light.
Right, so that light was,
he changed his body.
He changed body for him.
It was only light for him. It was not death. Prabhupada said there is no death for devotees. There is no death. So we kind of tend not to believe it, but actually it's a fact that there is no death. Uttama Shloka. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Bile Bataru Krama Vikram. Oh, no. Ayur Harati Vai Punsam. Udyana Stanchi Anasto. Yes. Tasyarte Shoyita Uttama Shloka. Yes. There is no death for those who are always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The sun rises and sets only for the non-devotees, not for the devotees. It cuts the duration of life of everyone except for the devotees. Okay, now you said, now she was next, Bhagavat, and then we'll go to Sankirtan. It's only because we're in ignorance that we experience death. Okay, that follows logically. Sankirtan? Okay, does anyone have anything more on this topic of death and ignorance? And are you satisfied, Adi Purush? You got your answers to your questions. The Lord has to breathe. Yeah, okay. Keep it in your computer and go with it. Yes, Sankirtan. So we're talking about Anantashesha and Sankarshan at the same time. Two different manifestations. Gotcha. Sankarshan. Yeah, in the sixth canto, we're going to hear more about Sankarshan because Chitraketu will worship Sankarshan. Four-handed form, right. Right. He may also have a plow, I'm not sure. Yeah. This one has a plow. Yeah, he's restraining his anger and intolerance until this time. Anantashesh, right. Yes. Yes, Anantashesh. Anantashesh is restraining his anger and intolerance. But there's, I mean, he's, Sankarshan and Anantashesh are very close, closely connected. Yes, he expands. It's Lord Sankarshan. Here it seems to be synonymous. The name is practically synonymous at the beginning of the chapter. He's called Tamasi. He's actually the one he's also doing. It comes from Sankarshan, from the mouth of Sankarshan, the fire is coming.
So the chapter speaks about both.
Yes. Pretty much the same. Yeah. Whether he's removed or not, it's his function for destruction. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the fire's coming from his mouth. Actually, in the quote, it says Sankarshan, I think. I'm not sure. I have a quote here. Yes. Fire is coming from the mouth of the snake. For your clarification. Yeah, actually in Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 11th chapter, verse 31, blazing fire from the mouth of Sankarshan. It says. Says Sankarshan, 3:11:31. It's the same. There's not much difference. It's actually Sankarshan.
This is the second chapter you have.
Yeah, second. Second. The last one that's connected with the material world. Yes, right. We see Anantashesh. But Shiva sees Sankarshan also. Lord Shiva and Chitraketu will see Sankarshan. They will see, yes. Two opposites, yes. Yes, two opposites in Sankarshan. He creates the attraction. Yes, yes.
He is based in hatred.
Yes, yes. He cuts it.
Anger.
Anger, yeah. But that's how it is in the material world. Yeah, that's how it is in the material world as well. That you get attracted and then you get the punch. Yes. And if you read the second canto, description of universal form, somewhere in that description, I think first chapter, it said that the teeth of the Lord are his smile, and it's attracting the conditioned souls. The Lord's mouth, his smile, but you know what the teeth do in the universal form is they eat everyone. So first you get attracted, and then you get ground up. It's just like the moths. You get attracted, and then you in the fire. So it seems like the two go together. Hariva. Okay. In the material world, it's the whole thing. What's going on actually? It's you get attracted and then you get finished. Yes, Adi Purush. And then second. Well, wait for him. Maybe. So two forces, yes. Attraction and repulsion, they're both together. Why don't you ask your question to Madhavendra Puri? If he agrees, then you can ask it. Oh, okay. He's our censor. Oh. Why Balaram favored Duryodhan? Yes, Tamasi. Actually, I just read that somewhere, and I can't remember where I read it. Was he angry with Arjuna? He was angry. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like in, when the... So the question was, why does Balaram favor Duryodhan? So just like when the marriage of Rukmini, was it Krishna wanted to kill Rukmi and then Balaram intervened? But then later on, he killed Rukmi. And it's like, you know, it's, he's just going one and then he does...
How can he like him?
How could he like Duryodhan?
Because he's Nityananda Prabhu.
Yes, because he's Avadhut. Yeah, right, that's where I read it. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I read it in Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's where I read it. That he's, it's just like Jagaya Madhai Nityananda was more merciful to these rascals. And then Duryodhan, same thing. Balaram was more merciful than Krishna. He was more merciful. Yes, you're right.
So in this age, Nityananda came.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just read that, I think, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that why he was favorable to Duryodhana, and he was more merciful than Krishna. He was more merciful.
Even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya.
Even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda. Okay, Sankirtan, did you have something, or is it, this is something? No, we already went to you. Okay, yes? Yes. Okay, so his point is... Jagaya Madhe got benefit from the mercy of Nityananda. Did Duryodhan get any benefit from Balaram's mercy? He learned how to fight with a club. And what else? He must have got something from Balaram's association. Kali, yes. He's an incarnation. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just got it. I got it because Balaram is destruction. And Duryodhan is destroying the whole dynasty. You see? See the link?
So, mercy, the
destruction,
mercy
destruction.
Where is the mercy part
then? Oh, that.
That's a different...
Yes. Difference between serving the Lord directly and indirectly. Duryodhan was indirect. Damana Krishna. And then... Duryodhan was initiated into Balaram Mantra. When he got his legs broken, Duryodhan?
Ask him how it happened to get so many followers, opulence.
Before you had so much opulence, how did this happen? Okay. So he understood by the mercy of Balaram that he didn't, because he didn't follow Krishna's order, and that's why. And actually, he was upset when Ashwatthama killed the grandsons. It was the grandsons. He was very upset because that was the last hope of the dynasty. He was actually upset. Duryodhan was upset when Ashwatthama brought the heads of the grandsons, sons of Draupadi. Yeah, he wanted the Pandavas. He would have been okay with that, but the grandsons, he didn't. Even he didn't like that. Yes. Okay. Now we've got Vanamali here.
Balaram is the teacher.
Balaram's teacher. Bhima is good in strength and Duryodhana is good in technique of the club. That's why Balaram was attracted, because his student was good. I kind of like the link of destruction there. That, you know, Balaram's in the line of destruction. And okay, now, who had the next question? Bhakti Damian. Okay. Number five means what? Verse five? How can a pure devotee? Yeah, there isn't that the devotee. Who is that guy who? That Acharya, Yamanacharya. Whenever I think of sex life, I spit. Yamanacharya. So, Because if you're in the material world, then you have a material body, so then the modes will try to affect you. So they may come, but you're not affected. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verse 70 or something, that so many desires may come, but the devotee is not disturbed. Yeah, like, and the purport prophet says that so many desires may come in the mind of a pure devotee, but the sign of Krishna consciousness is that he is not attracted, or he does not follow those desires. The desires may come, because we're very small. Even if we're, if you're a pure devotee, a liberated soul, still the things are coming. Just like what's his name, Vishabdev Jadabharat, all the attacks were there. So many things were attacking them, but they didn't. It wasn't disturbing to them. So attack is not only gross, it's also subtle. And you think it's your own mind, but it's also other forces too. It's your own mind, but other outside forces are also there to attack. So sometimes it's your mind and sometimes it's other people's minds that are attacking you. Yeah. Okay, any other questions or any answers? Lila Shuk. Right. Five types of ignorance is the first creation of Lord Brahma. Forgetfulness of your original spiritual identity. Moha. Accepting false identity. Maha Moha. Thinking everything belongs to this false identity. Tamisha. Anger. Afraid to lose your possessions. Anda Tamisha. Yeah, everything's there before he creates. Everything's already there, and then Brahma is the engineer, architect. He's just the one who puts it together. He's the engineer. In the second canto, it's explained that he's the gardener, that all the seeds are there, and he waters the seeds and makes them grow, puts them, plants them, makes them grow, and that's his function. He's just the gardener. But the Lord, it's all coming from the Lord himself. Sarga and Visarga. So Sarga, everything is created, and then Visarga, he just makes it grow. Now, somebody else? Okay, I'm Sharanya, and then Sharanya? All incarnations generally keep their form. Because he was all, he was everyone. Right, surrounded by nagas. Right, details. Well, what my understanding is that how people see him differently. So the girls, they were seeing him as a very beautiful person. Of course, they're also serpents, princesses of the serpent kings. So one thing I know is that these serpents, they can also become, change their form to humans. And so they can change their form. He can also, of course, manifest a beautiful human form, or Sankarshan. He manifests himself as Sankarshan for the girls. And for the boys, he's just a snake, you know. Why not? If they can do it, he can do it. I've heard stories in Mahabharata where one snake princess, she married a sage, Jagat Karu, his name was. I forgot her name. I think it's daughter of Vasuki or something. Oh, same name, right. Jarakaru and Jarakaru. So they got married. She was a snake, but she manifested as a human, in human form. And you see the pictures of Kaliya, kind of, the wives of the Kaliya serpent are like half-half in Bhagavatam. Half human and half snake. So they could worship Krishna. So, yeah. They will manifest, they can change their forms. That's just one mystic power, one of the eight mystic powers. You can change your form at will. So that's not something very wonderful. But he can change. Yes. Oh, I forgot Satyavati. Okay, Dhamma Krishna. Oh, yeah, some people... some people, they like one form, but then they don't like the other. And Krishnadas Kaviraj really warns against that. If you accept Lord Chaitanya, you don't accept Nityananda, then you're out. You're a Pashani.
They were brother of
Brother of? Oh, his brother, his own brother.
Acha?
Acha? Yes. Okay. Satyavati? Link between death and ignorance. I don't think so.
No, he was thinking that he protected.
He didn't protect him, though. Look what happened to him.
He was thinking.
Yeah. Well, sooner or later, it will come out. He will be finished. The creation will end, and so will his illusion. Yeah. At the end of the Manvantara, or at the end of the day of Brahma, everything is wiped up to Maharloka. So yeah. Won't take long. Yes, Prabhu. And then Hare Krishna. Ignorance is the link to death.
Ignorance is the result of death.
And ignorance is the result of death. So ignorance will have to end as death. If there is no ignorance, there will be no death. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Because if you know you're eternal, then you don't die. How can you die? If you know your spirit soul, and then how? There is no death. There is no death. You keep your consciousness, and the body's changing. It brings pain only if you don't see what is happening. Yes. Rahugana. And this question is asked over and over through Bhagavatam. Yeah. The thing is, if you see where you're going, then you don't have a problem with losing the body. If you see you see where you're going, you see your destination, you see your next step, then you don't care. You don't care about your body. Hopefully, we will be like that. Yeah. Yes, it's happiness for the devotees to go. Time of death. Yes, it's a festival. Dhruva Maharaj, death came. Yamaraj came. He put his foot on his head, and he went into the airplane. So you see the airplane. You don't see the airplane. That's the problem. But he never said one word about it. In fact, when devotees, he was dying, maybe he was feeling, but he was not expressing anything about pain or anything. And he said, when they asked him about if you can stay, he says, it doesn't matter if I go or stay, it doesn't matter to me. He says, you keep the bones together as long as you like, but actually, whether I go or whether I stay, doesn't matter. He was only staying, you know, to give the devotees a little bit more time. So we have to prepare. So when that time comes, and we're able to actually do it. Okay, one and two and three. Yes. But yes, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. He's a very good example. Yes, so Radhanath Swami was telling Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj stories of the spiritual world many days before he left.
Yeah,
1 or 2 weeks.
Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was simply crying.
And he was crying. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was crying.
He says,
I was never so happy in my life as I am now hearing these descriptions of Vrindavan.
Somewhere aside, his material body was feeling pain.
Yeah, great pain.
But
there's something else that where his consciousness is. It's not on the pain.
Pain exists, but it's not the main thing in the consciousness.
It's not the main thing. For other people, it's the main thing. You're just the pain and the elements, and you're in it, and you're dying, and you're finished. But for him, there's something else going on beyond that. Okay, Adi Purush?
Garga Samhita?
Oh. Balaram. Okay, the snake princesses that we're hearing about right now became gopis to enjoy Rasa Lila with Balaram in Garga Samhita. This is described in Bhagavatam, quoted here, that we heard in these verses. Verse 5, they're worshipping Sankarshan, Ananta. They became gopis of Balaram. In 10th canto, there's description. Okay, we'll be getting there a few years.
They are associates of the Lord.
Yes, these. Talatala. Right. Yes, they're very envious, so how could they be worshipping? Of course, the kings, the leaders are worshipping. And also, he's the biggest snake, you know. And so they respect that. The Lord has his associates. It's described his associates are the demigods. But the demons are also worshipping because there's nobody as big as... He's the biggest snake down there. For them, you know, he's the biggest. And they you know, everyone worships the biggest. And they get power, they get things they want. Yeah, we have that. Well, so it's described, there's a distinction, the unalloyed devotees and the demons worship Ananta. There's two kinds. So here also, it's mixed devotees plus unalloyed devotees. So whenever you have the Lord, you're going to get mixed and you're going to get pure. So the heads of the snakes could be mixed devotees and the others. Okay, I think we'll have to do it after class. It's class is already very late.